A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, October 11th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, today the world commemorated the International Day of the Girl Child, with most rights organizations saying the major challenge facing girls in the countries is access to education. And some new farmers in the Mazowe district of Mashonaland Central Province say the shortage of working capital is hampering agricultural production.
If we had the dollar before, when the government was still financing us, I tell you, you see green everywhere. This is not from any political point of view, but from a practical point of view.
And the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economy Association, ZICHIA, Wisdom Malaya, says there should be more dialogue between the government and vendors' associations to help resolve the current vendor crisis facing the country.
The running battles are still on. It's still a cat and mouse. The vendors are still trading in the street, and the local authorities, it's not in city of Harare only, quite a number of cities, the local authorities, they are also chasing the vendors, taking their goods.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Today, the world commemorated the International Day of the Girl Child, with most rights organizations saying the major challenge facing girls in the country is access to education. Meanwhile, the world will celebrate rural women this Thursday. The United Nations says this day will be dedicated to recognizing the critical role and contribution of rural women, including indigenous women, in enhancing agricultural and rural development, improving food security, and eradicating poverty.
Next week is International Day of Rural Women, and Studio 7 wants to hear from you. Where in rural Zimbabwe do you live? Call us and let us help you share your story of life in rural Zimbabwe. Do you have WhatsApp? Send us your voice message so we can play it on radio, or text us your number so we can call you back. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465. 0318 001 202 465 0318. Studio 7, your choice for balanced news.
Still in the rural areas, some new farmers in the Mazowe district of Mashonaland Central Province say the shortage of working capital is hampering agricultural production. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi visited the district and spent time with some of the farmers who say low agro output has a ripple effect on the growth of the country's economy.
Some of the farmers who received pieces of land in Mazowe district under the country's land reform program embarked on in 2000 say they are happy to have benefited from the agrarian reforms, adding that they are now proud owners of their ancestral land. Studio 7 spent time with newly resettled farmer Baldwin Mazango of Umsasa Farm in Mazowe, who grows a variety of crops including maize, cucumbers and potatoes. Mazango also rears broilers and traditional chickens, commonly known as roadrunners. Mazango says, despite occupying the property in 2008, his efforts to grow the farm are being hampered by lack of resources.
If we had the dollar before, when the government was still financing us, I tell you, you see green everywhere. This is not from any political point of view, but from a practical point of view.
As a result, Mazango is now appealing to foreign investors who want to seed their money in Zimbabwe to consider working with newly resettled farmers.
So if you can have someone who's productive, black or white, Chinese, Indian or Japanese, you see, I have no problem. Yes, at the end of the day, I'm sure we share the same passion.
Meanwhile, the Agriculture Portfolio Secretary in the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, Valentine Ziswa, says new farmers should be given title deeds to access loans from financial institutions. Banks are currently not offering loans to new farmers because they do not have collateral.
And other financial institutions are owed huge amounts of money to the extent that they are not able to service serious farmers anymore, apart from the fact that some of them are facing collapse or have downsized operations.
Mazango said electricity was also contributing to low productivity on the farms because they are now failing to irrigate their crops during the current dry season.
That's where we need government to come in, you know, to at least if the fertilizer prices were to come down, seed prices to come down, the herbicides, the pesticides, after selling, you know, I can retain a little bit of some money and work on irrigation. Oh. So that's the only way to go now. Because the rainfall patterns for the past 5 years since I've been here, they are just erratic.
On the other hand, Ziswa says farmers require frequent agricultural lessons, but bemoaned the lack of resources to finance the activities of the agricultural extension services.
You find extension workers just sitting all day because they have no resources to work on, to go into assisting people.
Meanwhile, Mazango said he was happy that many farmers in his area were now getting farming advisory services from private consultants. One of the private consultants, Jeremiah Gwanzura, tells VOA Studio 7 that their advice is that farmers should take farming as a business and not a hobby.
We are linking them within the value chain that they can connect to the market, and that the marketers can come and use their funds that are getting from the farmers and contract the farmers at the ground. That will enable our farmers to be sustainable, to be innovative, that they can grow in the product that they are producing.
Mazango, though struggling, says he's looking forward to exporting his produce and hopes to get better value for his crops.
I want this to be, you know, a medium-scale farm which exports, which shows that this program was really worth it. Of course, with the politics going on with the European bloc, Europe won't mind.
While new farmers continue to register low agricultural output due to lack of resources, Lands Minister Douglas Mombeshora announced recently that the government was moving towards repossessing all the remaining white-owned farms to parcel them out to black Zimbabweans. The move was criticized by Ziswa and the Commercial Farmers Union. Meanwhile, First Lady Grace Mugabe, whose family grabbed a number of farms in Mazowe District, says those failing to utilize their allocated pieces of land should move off the properties. Some economic analysts say Zimbabwe's economic plunge may continue for years to come if agricultural production remains at an all-time low. Reporting for Studio 7 from Mazowe, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economy Association, Zichia Wisdom Malaya, says there should be more dialogue between the government and vendors' associations to help resolve the current vendor crisis facing the country. Malaya says he hopes to learn new ways of handling the vendor crisis in the country from other African nations who have gone through similar experiences. Malaya is in the United States at the Global Labor University Conference, bringing together over 300 alumni to share ideas on the work they are doing in their respective fields in their respective countries. Malaya is part of the South African-based Global Labor University, which offers international master's programs for trade unionists and other specialists. I caught up with Malaya earlier on.
The running battles are still on. It's still a cat and mouse. The vendors are still trading in the street, and the local authorities, it's not in the city of Harare only, quite a number of cities, the local authorities, they are also chasing the vendors, taking their goods. So it's now an issue whereby sometimes the vendors, they trade, when they see the local authority, they run away. And also some are even resorting to trading after hours so that they keep trading.
So you are here at this big conference. What are you hoping to learn and to take away, especially to those vendors that are currently facing the crisis in Zimbabwe right now?
At the Global Labour University, it's a platform whereby after the school we first went through, we are now called the alumni, and this is a platform where we share our experiences of what is happening in our various countries in terms of labour or representing the workers. So you see with the Zimbabwean situation, it's like the place of work has shifted due to a lot of company closures which have taken place. So at the end of the day, the informal economy is growing. Many people are in the streets. So at this school, we learn strategies of organizing these workers in the informal economy so that we are able to play a role or build a voice towards representing the issues that affect them in their area of trade.
That was the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economy Association, ZICHIA, Wisdom Malaya, in Washington. Meanwhile, we also caught up with Dr. Crispin Chingono with the Witwatersrand University in South Africa, who says Zimbabwe can learn a lot from other countries that have gone through the same labor issues that the country is grappling with. Dr. Chingono is also in the same meeting that Malaya was attending. We hear more from him.
Basically, we are here to reflect on the changes to the employment relationship and sort of try to envision the changes that may happen in terms of the relationship between the employer and the employee. And then coming back to the lesson that we can learn from what is happening in Zimbabwe as far as the relationship between the employer and the employee and the changes in the industrial relations regime. What we learn is sort of there is an intersection between the industrial relations regime is in a way tied to the broader socio-economic and political context in the country.
Can Zimbabwe get out of this quagmire that it's in right now?
What is happening in Zimbabwe is a reflection to the systemic crisis that characterized the Zimbabwean economy. And in a way, when you look at it, drawing from the experiences of other countries, this problem is not necessarily an industrial relations problem, but it's a broader problem that is tied to the broader socio-economic and political context of the country. It's a manifestation of a capitalist system of production that is in a crisis. So the only way when business is not able to make profit, it's labor that's always on the receiving end. So this is what is happening in Zimbabwe. The economic system is in a crisis, and then the employers, the only option for them to be able to extract surplus value is to retrench.
That was Dr. Crispin Chingono, a lecturer at the Witwatersrand University in South Africa, speaking to us here in Washington. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Ngobile Munzara, who is the founder of Culture Shock Trust. Thank you so much for joining me today on the program.
Thank you, Tatenda.
And, of course, it is the International Day of the Girl Child being commemorated worldwide. What's your take as you look at the strides that have been made for the girl child, especially in Zimbabwe?
Thank you, Tatenda. I think in terms of empowering the girl child in Zimbabwe, communities are beginning to be more and more accepting that, you know, the girl child education is equally important as that of the boy child, because at the end of the day, you know, all our children are equal and they should all be emancipated. And unfortunately, though, what we continue to see is the trends in abuse and rape. You know, those cases continue to be reported in our police stations. You know, you hear cases going on in the courtrooms. And generally, it's the trend is that the perpetrators are someone who are close to the girl child.
So we still need a lot of work to be done in that area where we are sensitizing, you know, communities.
And talking about sensitizing the communities, you're doing work in order to bridge the gap between that of parents and the children. Let's look at the role of parents. What should they do in ensuring that the girl child is given all that she needs to strive?
Well, you know, parents have it's a difficult responsibility because in as much as they want to give their children everything, you know, the girl child of today is also quite well aware and well exposed to a lot of social issues that are going on around the world. And so it's important to ensure that parents are also up to date in terms of what is affecting their children, the social challenges that they're dealing with. And they need to really open up and talk to their children.
Before we delve more on that issue, let me first ask you, in your work, do you think that there are different demographics of what the girl child is looking at the makeup of where they're located? Is there a difference between the rural girl child and the urban girl child?
There is a difference, Katinda, but that difference is becoming smaller and smaller with the introduction of social media and cell phones and everything else.
Now, back to, of course, the role of the parents. You recently had a program where you were having a parenting a teen, as you called it, where you were targeting parents and children alike. Tell me more about that program and how was it received?
So what I came up with was what I call a life skills course, and this life skills course is for both parents and children. And it's my way of trying to bring parents and their teenagers together in a neutral and safe place where we can discuss the social challenges that teenagers are facing, and we can also assist parents to listen to their teenagers a bit more and to try and find ways, you know, coping mechanisms. I also try and push the message of, you know, as teenagers, we want to have a teenager who is self-aware, who is self-confident, who has a sense of self-esteem and self-worth. So when they are faced with these challenges, they are able to remember that, but this is what I want out of life.
And, you know, even looking at, you know, the day of the girl child, there is the role that the boy child himself plays in uplifting, you know, young women. How are you working with young men?
I think what happens with young boys is that our media is portraying a lot of negativity when it comes to how girls and boys should interact. So you find, like, in our TV series, music videos, there's a lot of emphasis on sexiness for girls. And what the media is portraying how boys should respond to that is that they should objectify girls. You know, and that is completely wrong, you know. Girls and boys, however they are interacting with each other, especially boys, they should respect girls. You know, they should treat them like ladies. They should be gentlemen and behave in that way. So that's the kind of message that I also try and put across to boys, that a girl is not an object to conquer in the same way as it is put out in the media. A girl is somebody that you respect.
And of course, in the spirit of the International Day of the Girl Child and what you are doing on the ground in Zimbabwe, what are you telling young girls and young women?
My biggest message to, you know, teenagers alike, whether it's a girl or a boy, but more importantly to our girls, is that the focus is on our schoolwork. We need to focus on our schoolwork. We need to achieve good grades in high school. We need to get out of high school, go to university, and be a success story. You know, we still need doctors in our country. We still need nurses and lawyers and accountants and teachers.
And on that point, I want to thank you so very much, Ngobile, for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you. Thank you, Katinga.
That was Ngobile Munzara, founder of Culture Shock Trust, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo wishing everyone a wonderful International Day of the Girl Child and telling all the young girls out there to keep dreaming.
Thank you there, Tatenda, for the inspiring words. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Today, the world commemorated the International Day of the Girl Child, with most rights organizations saying the major challenge facing girls in the country is access to education. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, October the 11th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.